I want to ask a question this morning. All right? What question? All right. If you were able to ask Jesus for one thing, if you were able to ask Jesus for one thing, to have one desire of your heart fulfilled, what would that be? All right? For more wishes? that's what you're supposed to ask a genie if they pop up, right? No. Well, I mean, if you were to ask Jesus for one desire of your heart, that one desire would be fulfilled, what would it be? Now, years ago, I would have answered that question by saying that I would like to have power. I would like to have power to preach the gospel. I would like to have power to heal the sick and power to raise the dead and to proclaim the message and the ministry of Jesus Christ with power, because I felt like power was an important thing to have. And I'm not saying that it's not important, but I'm just saying that I've kind of changed what I would ask for now. You know, I realize that there's actually something more important than power, more important even than the authority to preach the gospel. And it's actually something that prepares us to walk in power and authority. Now, if you've got your sheet, look on the first scripture, Mark 3:13. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. So, what had to happen first before the apostles were sent out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons? What's the key? What did they have to do first before they did that? They had to be with Jesus, right? It says, he appointed the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. So the source of all authority and power in the kingdom of God is to be with Jesus. Being with Jesus is the source of all authority and power in the kingdom. Now, like I said, years ago, when I started realizing this, I purposed myself to begin spending time with Jesus. You know, I said, Lord, I see it now. I'm going to spend more time with you. And I figured that the day was 24 hours long, and so what I needed to do was tithe a part of my day. And so I said, okay, I'm going to spend 2.5 hours a day with you, being with you. Now, I realize that 10% of 24 hours is actually 2.4 hours, but you have to round up just to be sure. So 2.5 hours a day. And but, you know, at the time, you know, my days were pretty full. And really, so the only way to spend that extra time with him would be to get up 2.5 hours earlier in the morning, which I started doing. And that lasted maybe a month. Maybe. That's probably being generous. Maybe 2 weeks it lasted. And what I found out very quickly was that my self-discipline and my willpower were not enough to overcome all of the distractions in my life. You know, it didn't matter how much I set myself toward doing it, I always seemed to fall short. And you know, that's kind of the frustration of doing law, right? You have this standard, and the more you try to do it, the harder it is to do it. And the more you fall short, the more you feel condemned by it. And even though I just kind of set the standard for myself, it's what I expected I needed to do in order to be with Jesus. And so finally, at my desperation, it's kind of interesting how we get to a point of desperation. And when you get to a point of desperation in the Lord, I mean, what we always do finally is cry out, Lord, I need help. So maybe next time, we need to learn maybe that's the place we ought to start. Instead of, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. Lord, I need help. Let's start there. I need help. And because what I needed help with was to be motivated to be with him and to spend more time with him. Now, how the Lord helped me, at least began to help me, was, you know, through a little story in Luke 10 that we're all familiar with. So let's read it. It's the second scripture on your sheet. Luke 10:38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, for a long time, and I probably most would say that this story kind of gives the contrast between a worker-oriented Christian and a more inward, prayerful sort of Christian, the worker bee versus a contemplative Christian. But really, this is more than a story about the difference between doing and being. I'm not saying that it's not that. I just think it's more than that. It's more than showing the contrast between doing and being. You see, Martha and Mary, they had a whole lot in common. Obviously, they were sisters. They both loved Jesus. They both called him Lord. They both were thankful. And I think both of them would have done anything for him. All right, that's how much they loved and appreciated him. So in the story, I think what we ought to focus on is not what's similar between them, but what's the difference between the two of them? What was the difference between the two? And the difference really is this. Mary was listening to the Lord, and Martha was distracted. Now, the word distracted means pulled away, separated, you know, pulled back. And so the thing that Martha was pulled back from was obviously what? Jesus. Mary was connected with him, and Martha was distracted. And, you know, what distracted her? It was her service, right? She was actually distracted from Jesus by her ministry to Jesus. I'll say that again. She was distracted from Jesus by her ministry to Jesus. Because that's what ministry is, right? Service. Now, notice where the distraction from Jesus led. She said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." So, what did serving the Lord while being distracted from him lead to? It led to her basically accusing the Lord of not caring. Can you imagine? Accusing Jesus of not caring? That's what she, "Lord, don't you care?" And then she put a demand on him and a demand on others. Which isn't that what, when we're caught up in religious service, isn't that what we do? We think that because of what we've earned from God, we put a demand on him, and then we put a demand on others to do like us. We have this expectation. And disappointment comes from unmet expectations. She had an expectation of what Jesus was going to do for her, or somehow was going to reward her with help from her sister because of what she was doing. And that expectation brought disappointment, and the disappointment brings anger, and the anger brings accusation. Now, have you ever done something for the Lord, and yet in the midst of it, you don't feel like you're getting any recognition or the help that you deserve? I know we've all been there. You don't have to raise hands. You know, and when that happens, we always wind up accusing him and others of not caring because we're caught up in ourselves, right? Now, I love how Jesus always seems to get to the simple root of every situation. You know, when something's going on, it's complex, he just speaks right to the simple root of what's causing it. And that's what he did in verse 41. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, just imagine the Son of God sitting in your living room. That's the picture that's going on right here, right? And when you read these Bible stories, try and get a picture in your mind of what's going on. I mean, here's the Son of God sitting in your living room, and right there in front of you is the answer to every problem you've ever had or ever will have, the source of all wisdom and knowledge. And yet, Martha was distracted. And in the midst of that distraction, she began to think, the Lord doesn't care. He's ignoring me. He's ignoring my struggles. And all the while, my sister is sitting there doing nothing. Now, Martha, I'm sure, could not comprehend Mary's attitude. Because people who like to busy themselves with things cannot understand people who like to sit and enjoy just being. And on the other hand, I'm sure Mary couldn't understand Martha's attitude. And Martha was thinking, Mary, I can't believe you're not helping me. And Mary must have been thinking, Martha, I can't believe you're not in here with him. Jesus is right here with us. He's in the room, and he's in our living room. He's letting me sit here listening to him, which was totally against every norm and custom and even the law as being practiced then for her to do that. It was illegal, according to the rabbis, for a woman to sit and to learn teaching from another rabbi. And yet there she was. And she's thinking, okay, I'm not moving from here unless he tells me to leave. And I can't believe, Martha, that you're not here with me. Yeah, this could have been the last time we see him. And you might say, well, Jesus, had to eat, right? And somebody had to do the work. Somebody had to fix the food, right? But the thing is, Jesus didn't come there for the sole purpose of eating. No. Jesus came to that house to be with his friends. They had absolutely no strategic importance to his mission. They were simply his friends who he wanted to be with. Now, what do you imagine Jesus was thinking? I remember we began by asking the question, if you could ask Jesus for one thing, what would it be? Well, let's ask the same thing from Jesus' perspective. If Jesus could ask one thing of you, what would it be? Would it be for him to, would he ask you to do something, to accomplish some task? What one thing would Jesus ask of you? You see, the thing is, Jesus was enjoying Mary being there as much as she was. Why didn't he ask her to leave? He absolutely loved her sitting there listening to him. After all, how often does Jesus find someone who's just content to sit at his feet? How many people out of 1,000 who want to serve him are actually content to just be with him? 1, 2, maybe 5. So he said to Martha, 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 you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Only indeed one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, what did he mean? Only one thing is needed. Now, I believe he's saying that the only thing, that there's only one thing in all of life that is really necessary. There's only one thing that he really wanted, and Mary had chosen it. Mary had chosen what was better, and he said it's not going to be taken away from her. How many things in life cannot be taken away from us? There's very few, right? There's virtually nothing in life that we can't lose. We can lose our material possessions. We can lose our loved ones. We can lose our freedom. We can even lose our natural life. But only one thing cannot and will not be taken away, and that's being with Jesus. Every moment of every day, we can choose to be with Jesus. And he is always the better choice that cannot be taken away. You see, Martha had allowed her service of Jesus to distract her from Jesus. You know, and her service led her to being angry and upset and accusatory. And Mary, on the other hand, was doing the one thing that she could not do without, and that's being with Jesus. And she was listening to him. Now, you realize that we can actually make listening to the Lord into a chore. We can make being with Jesus into a distracted act of service. That's what I declared when I said, Lord, I'm going to spend 2.5 hours a day with you. I was making being with him into a chore, into a service in which, and during that 2.5 hours, even while I was doing it, my mind was everywhere. I mean, you ever tried to sit alone with the Lord for 15 minutes? I mean, your mind goes everywhere, right? When we make it into a chore, that's what happens. Now, look at it from Jesus' perspective. Would he rather have someone serve him, or would he rather have someone to share his heart with? Would he rather spend time with a servant or with a friend? And I think Jesus is very clearly telling us right here what he wants. He wants us to enjoy him. You see, friends don't need to be compelled to spend time with each other. Why do you spend time with your best friends? Because you have to? No, it's because you enjoy it. You enjoy being with them. You enjoy hanging out with them. You enjoy talking to them. You spend time with them because you enjoy it. Now, how do you spend your free time? Dan and I were just talking about how little free time we have. It's interesting how life gets full and you have so little free time. But then when you do have free time, how do you spend your free time? I mean, do you spend it doing things and with people who you don't enjoy? No. No, you spend your free time with people and doing things that you do enjoy. See, Mary was doing what she enjoyed, and what she enjoyed was being with Jesus. Martha was distracted and angry and upset because she was serving Jesus and not enjoying it. And of course, it is possible to serve Jesus and to enjoy it, right? And if we're ever involved in serving Jesus in some way and not enjoying it, we really need to rethink what we're doing. We really need to rethink it. The thing is, we can choose to enjoy Jesus in everything and every situation. All right, so we've asked two questions. The first is, if you were able to ask Jesus for one thing, to have one desire of your heart fulfilled, what would it be? And the second question is, if Jesus could ask one thing of you, to have one desire of his heart fulfilled, what would it be? Now, more than anything else, Jesus wants us to enjoy being with him. That's what Mary chose. And his promise was that would not be taken away from her. Now, I know my answer now to that first question. What's the one thing I want from Jesus? And it's not power. More than anything else, I want to enjoy being with him. Because I know that if I enjoy him, then I will want to be with him every moment of every day. Being with him actually becomes my joy. And it's a joy that he completes and that overflows to others, to the people around us. So, these are vital questions to ask ourselves. Do I enjoy Jesus? Do I feel his affection for me? You know, enjoying Jesus is the greatest motivation for being with him. Everybody hear that? Enjoying Jesus is the greatest motivation for being with him. All right? So the point is, the desire of Jesus' heart is to be with us and to enjoy being with us, right? The desire of our heart, he wants us to, the desire of our hearts to be for us to be with him and us to enjoy being with him, right? There's a mutual enjoyment there that he wants to have. And so it's easy to say, all right, well, it's easy, you know, it's easy for her because there she was, he was right in the room with her, but obviously her sister didn't have that same ease in entering in, okay? But, you know, so don't we, when we don't have the actual presence of Jesus, have a little bit more difficult time of it, okay? Well, if being with his people is the primary desire of Jesus' heart, okay, if it is, we presume that, which I think is correct, he wants to be with us for all eternity. Now, he told his friends when he was about to leave, he actually said, it's better for you that I go, because when I go, I can send the Spirit, right? Now, we always look at that from our perspective. Why is it better for us that Jesus left and we have the Spirit? But have you ever thought about that from Jesus' perspective? Was it better for him to leave so that he could send the Spirit? How could that possibly be? It's because Jesus, in his body, even his resurrected body, was limited by the physical nature. And so in his time on the earth in that room, that's the only place that he could be at that point in time on the earth, was in that room with that small group of people, whoever could fit in there, right? But why is it better for Jesus for him to go so he can send the Spirit? Because by the Holy Spirit, he can be with his people everywhere at all times simultaneously. And so I think a part of what our challenge is to recognize that fact. We have the presence of God with us, being with us, who we can be with, who's actually greater in that way than the incarnate Lord Jesus sitting in a room. We have the Holy Spirit who lives in every one of us and dwells among us, and by being with the Spirit, we are being with Jesus. Okay? Now, the question always comes, though, we feel like we have to do something in order to take that first step to make it happen. And I'm not discounting that. I think there is some, you know, there is some truth to that, because the Lord, you know, he allows us our freedom, right? I mean, we can have his presence with us and we're free to totally ignore it all of our lives, right? And so the question is, how do we get motivated to spend time with him, to be with him? How do we discipline ourselves in that way? Hello, hello, hello. He wants to be with you. And the point is, enjoying Jesus is the greatest motivation for being with him. Okay? Enjoying him. Discipline will only get us so far. A week, maybe two, maybe a month. Discipline, self-discipline only gets us so far. See, there's places in the Lord where grace takes us that discipline never will. Amen. We rely on him. There's places that his love and grace brings us to that our own self-discipline and effort will never lead us. Now, there's nothing wrong with self-discipline, but the problem with self-discipline is that its emphasis always evaluates our own performance, right? And there's no place in the new covenant for status based on self-performance. It's been excluded completely by the work of Christ. There's no place for it. So get it away. It's just an obstacle to being close to him. Self-performance is an obstacle to enjoying being with Jesus. You know, the emphasis in the new covenant is always and can only be the Son of God, who he is, on enjoying him, on feeling his affection, on loving him, on enjoying our friendship with him. And let me tell you, I can tell you this by personal experience. And, you know, I want to enjoy it more and more. But joy is a far more effective motivator than discipline. I mean, it is. Man, if I've got a choice between something I'm going to enjoy to do or something I have to feel like I have to do, and I can make the, you know, I can choose, I'm going to choose what I enjoy to do. Right? Yeah. And so the question is, how do we get there? Now, because I think there is a part that we play. And the part we play is connecting and asking for the grace of the Lord. You know, so let me, you know, let me just share with you a few prayers, very short, very simple, that are very powerful to pray on a regular basis, okay? Like every morning, if you remember. Yeah, Lord, let me feel your affection for me today. Father, fill me with passion for your Son. Jesus, let me enjoy you today. It's pretty simple, huh? But pray those prayers and see what happens in your life. Your thoughts are going to change. Your desires are going to change. Your lives are going to change. The fact is that Jesus gave his life so that we can enjoy being with him and so that he can enjoy being with us. And being with Jesus is the better choice. Being with Jesus is the better choice, and it can never be taken away from us. Amen? Amen. Amen.